Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano temporarily sitting in for Tim Wildman. We have some technical difficulties. While our crack staff is waiting to get that fixed, I want to welcome Steve Jordahl into the studio. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. As good, I like to say, I know how the day is going. I'm vertical. That's the very first thing that I check in the morning. If I'm vertical, I'm doing okay.
how do you check to see if you're vertical? You don't know automatically if you're standing upright?
Well, no, you look out, and if it's like 6 feet, 3 inches down to the ground, then you know you're vertical. If it's like 4 inches, you know you're horizontal.
Okay. All right. Also joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Ray Pritchard is remote from Kansas City. And as soon as we get Tim back in, you will hear his voice. He will rejoin the program. So, Tim,
in a
back?
World.
In an outpost at the edge of space.
Yeah, I'm having to work remote today, so that's the first day of doing this, so it's a little bit of a challenge, technologically speaking. All right, so you already introduced Steve Paisley Jordahl?
You did. I didn't use the Paisley part, but that's pretty much what everyone knows about now.
I was a little disappointed that you didn't, but thank you, Tim, for
all right.
Hey, you deserve, just like having a PhD, it you is. Deserve.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
I've earned it.
You got a PhD in Paisley, so, I mean, you need to be recognized.
There you go.
Hey, listen, there's a lot of people with a PhD that has just about that much quality attached to it. PhD in Paisley.
There you go, knocking Harvard again.
Yes. That's right. It's such an easy target.
Okay. So, Steve,
yes,
what's your first story?
Well, I just I want to point out a couple examples. Democrats just do politics different than Republicans. I got it. They are at a whole nother level of hate. You know, Republicans disagree, and they would rather things be, and they sometimes speak strongly about the policy. Sometimes they even speak strongly about the people. But they don't know how to play the game blood sport like Democrats do. Two examples. New York, state of New York, they are introducing a bill called the Rest Stop Restaurant Act, and it's by Assemblyman Tony Simone. And basically what it says is that any restaurant that is located at a rest stop has to be open 7 days a week. Guess which restaurants, one of the restaurants that's at every rest stop in New York.
I don't know. McDonald's?
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, are you serious?
Chick-fil-A signed a 30-year deal with New York to have their restaurants, a 33-year deal on Thursday, to have their restaurants at rest stops, and now they're introducing a bill to require any restaurant that's there to be open 7 days a week.
Now, hold on just a minute. Are you talking about like a truck stop? Is that what you're talking about, like?
Yeah, kind of, but like a rest stop.
Rest stop on a highway.
Yeah, like a highway. You go off, you pull off. Usually there's some restrooms and there's a building. Well, New York, apparently they have some restaurants as well.
I've never seen a rest. I'm not arguing with you, Steve, okay? Far be it from me to argue with a man who wears Paisley.
That's right.
But I'm just unclear what that is, because I've never seen a restaurant at a rest stop, ever.
You've driven up north. They do.
Fred, Tim, you've driven in Florida, right? You ever taken the tollway down? You know, they got that tollway. It's just it's wide, and in the middle, sometimes you have
restaurants
and that kind of stuff.
Yep. I got you. Well, listen, I think if in fact Chick-fil-A signed this contract with the state of New York prior to this. Has this legislation been signed?
No, he's collecting. It's been introduced.
Okay, well, it won't work. Okay, that's my prediction. I think Chick-fil-A, the state of New York knew Chick-fil-A closed on Sunday before they ever signed them to do this contract. Now, I'm sure Chick-fil-A has good enough lawyers to have you know, have protections in place for something like this. This sounds like to me, it's some dude who doesn't like Christians,
right?
Who just wants to say, I'm going to force you to open on Sunday because I don't like the fact that you observe the Sabbath. That's what it sounds like to me. But anyway,
they don't like Christians, and they don't like Christian chicken. So that's too bad for them. They're missing out on a lot of great things. No, it sounds petty, and it just sounds like they don't like Chick-fil-A, and they want to try to force them, like you said, Tim, to work on the Sabbath.
It sounds Democrat to me.
It does sound Democrat. Listen, we all know how petty people can be, and this is pretty close to the top.
Well, I've got something even more.
Even more petty than this? Yes.
Actually, it's...
And don't forget, we do still have Ray.
Ray.
We may read this next story.
We'll get Ray. We're going to listen to it, and then Ray, you can comment. This is another example of the blood sport. This is a normal, everyday Democrat voter who is kind of upset with Republicans because they vote conservative. And I wouldn't identify her even if I knew her name. But listen, I've never heard a Republican talk like this about Democrats, but listen to Cut 12. Did I not send that to you?
Okay.
Well,
disguise your voice.
Yes. It is a lady wishing...
In a world.
In a world. It is a lady wishing diabetes on Republican voters and hoping that their loved ones that they depend on and love most lose a limb to diabetes because they vote Republican.
Well,
that's
inappropriate.
I mean,
to have that kind of attitude, that you need to look in the mirror if that's what you're. Where'd you get this story, Steve?
The diabetes one?
Yeah.
I have a very eclectic Twitter feed. I get a lot of stuff. When I'm looking for news on Twitter, some of the people that I watch for news from also post these other. This would be something like would be on the libs of TikTok, although it isn't on that particular channel, but. Yeah, it was
okay. So you're saying we don't have the we don't have the audio?
Oh, we do have the audio now, I think.
Okay, who are we about to listen to?
I don't know her name. It's so vile, it's so mean that I don't think I'd want to identify her. So give a listen. Give a listen to this.
All right.
For all of you Republican voters, I sincerely hope this Christmas season, my gift to you is a case of diabetes to the person you love most that comes out of nowhere. I hope one of you loses a limb to diabetes. Diabetes. I wish this upon Republican voters. I want you to learn firsthand just how bad you have made it for everybody else. You're going to, I wish this on you. I sincerely hope you get hit with diabetes. I hope it's the person you love the most.
Ray, I suppose there are some Republicans who hate Democrats that much, but I just don't generally hear them like that.
Look, that's sick. That's bizarre. What? Does she think that there are no diabetic Republicans? I mean, diabetes is a terrible affliction, terrible. And it does not discriminate on the basis of blue or red or anything to do with political affiliation. And the mind has to be sick and warped. And did you hear how calm she was, Steve,
right,
when she said it? She wasn't ranting or screaming. She had clearly thought about this. And for all the conservatives and the Republicans who vote conservative, she wishes diabetes upon either us or the people we love the most. And that's her Christmas wish.
Listen, the devil has that lady by the scruff of the neck. And, folks, you heard that. You need to I don't know who the lady is. I don't know anything about her. I don't know how old she is.
She looked in her 50s.
Just pray for this lady because that kind of hatred is demonic. And, listen, if it's coming from a Republican, it's demonic.
Yeah.
You don't wish evil upon other people. And, wow.
But isn't this the same kind of hatred that we're seeing in the streets right now against Jewish people in Israel? It's the same kind of hate. I mean, the latest protest was in New York yesterday. They hate the Jewish people.
Yeah.
They hate the nation of Israel. It's pathological.
Listen, our nation is filling up with hate, and you know, the Jesus says in the book of Matthew 24, chapter 24, he says, because of lawlessness, people's love will grow cold. And we are seeing that unfold. That's just kind of a biblical principle. Obviously, Jesus is talking about the signs of the end of the age. But it is a principle of Scripture that your heart does grow cold. It does grow hard during times of lawlessness. And then that cold-heartedness feeds back into the lawlessness, and you kind of have this death spiral. And yeah, the only one who can save a nation from that is God.
Yes.
So that lady has a deep and abiding sickness in her heart that only Jesus can fix.
Yep.
She sounds vaccinated.
I'm thinking
triple masked.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think
there
so.
Was Probably a lot, you know, there was a lot of that during during COVID. Remember,
she smells vaxxed.
The people, you know, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, the wearing the masks, don't wear the masks. I did see a lot of people wishing bad things upon the other side. It was really pretty sad. But people, when they get angry and they feel threatened or whatever, they lash out. They lash out. That lady's getting coal in her stock.
You know that.
Yeah.
As a Boston Bruins fan last year at the end of the playoffs, you lashed
out. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up, Tim.
No, you wished bad things on your opponent. Don't tell me you didn't.
All right. I won't tell you I didn't.
Yes.
I'm not saying I didn't. I'm just saying I won't say it.
Yes, my Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, man.
Your two favorite teams on game day are your team and the team who's playing your rival.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
That's right.
All right. So anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program. If you want to send us an email, as long as it's a K-Love email, which means it's positive and encouraging. Positive and encouraging emails is what we want to hear. Comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. All right, Steve, what's your next story?
I wish I could bring you some positive and encouraging news, but we've
That's
been...
That's up to you.
It is.
If you want to, you can.
We've been noting that America's support for Israel in this war seems to be... The administration's support seems to be waning. We've heard the president talk about Israel doing indiscriminate bombings. I would like to read to you the first two paragraphs from a story out of Politico. This is a legitimate news outlet. They're not reporting things that they wouldn't fact check. This is what they're saying. The U.S. has been gathering information about Israel's tactics in Gaza since the start of the war and provided those reports to lawmakers in the United States. While American officials say they're not making judgments in real time about whether Israel is abiding by the laws of war, the U.S. has gathered intelligence that might allow it to make such assessments in the future.
Okay, now, but this kind of goes on. Don't we do this for all kinds of conflicts?
I don't know.
You think there's something pernicious about what the Biden administration is doing?
If they are
collecting this information?
Collecting information on how Israel is conducting the war and giving it to lawmakers? They've been collecting the same kind of information on Hamas, which has been accused of war crimes. But State Department officials are also collecting reports of potential Israeli violations through a system unveiled in August called the Civilian Harm Incident Response Guidance. That's according to Josh Paul, who is a State Department employee who quit over his concerns about our approach to the Israel war.
First of all, I want to know who comes up with the names of these acts.
Yeah.
It's always some innocuous sounding thing. I certainly hope, and Tim, I'll kick it back to you or whoever else wants to jump in on this. I certainly hope the Biden administration stays staunchly in support of Israel. You know, to me, all this time, they should have been communicating with the with Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli officials privately. I don't know why everyone has to make all these things public and make it a public statement that, in quote-unquote, indiscriminate bombing, they should be communicating privately and not trying to embarrass the Israeli government or Benjamin Netanyahu, and certainly don't stoke the hopes of the haters of Israel that the U.S. is going to take some sort of U.N. approach to chastise Israel. But I put nothing past the Biden administration.
Yeah, statement of reality. This is a war.
Right.
This is a war. Israel is at war with a terrorist group. A terrorist group that uses human shields.
That started the war
with a massacre. A lot of people have forgotten about that because the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about October the 7th.
Right.
Even though there are videos out there, and we've talked a little bit about this, of what they did to innocent men, women, and children. Hamas doesn't think the way normal people think. They celebrated sexual assault. They celebrated killing little boys and girls. Right. That's their thinking, unarmed people. So Israel goes in. They are out to eliminate Hamas, because if they don't, Hamas will do this again.
As they have said. Hamas leaders have said there's going to be an October 7th, 8th, 10th, on forever.
On forever. So that is what Israel is dealing with. Have civilians died in Gaza? Yes. And it is sad. It is tragic. But do not blame Israel for this. This is a creation of Hamas. This war is a creation of Hamas. Hamas started this. As people have pointed out, on October the 6th, there was a two-state solution. Israel did not attack into Gaza. Gaza, Hamas attacked them. They have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And shame on the Biden administration. I think what's happening, the Biden administration is trying to play both sides in this.
Right.
They're trying to appease these young people who do not like Israel. So you have Joe Biden accusing Israel of indiscriminate bombing. That is absolutely ridiculous. Israel is after the bad guys. Unfortunately, the bad guys are putting women and children in front of them, and that's what people should be disgusted about.
Right.
Well, look, you got a situation here where our government, and Fred, you said it very well, the Biden administration has a divided approach here. On one hand, they're for Israel. On the other hand, they got to placate the supporters of the Palestinians, really, of the terrorists, of Hamas. So if you ask me, are you surprised at what the government is doing, checking into what the IDF is doing down there in Gaza? I'm not surprised at all. I'm saddened by it, because the truth is, in war, whatever you look for, you tend to find. So you're going to find, look, we had this very tragic case a couple days ago where the IDF mistakenly shot and killed three hostages, three Israelis held hostage by Hamas. And it just, that kind of stuff happens in war. So if you look for this kind of thing, you're going to find it. All I can say is, I hope that Prime Minister Netanyahu has the courage to stay the course until the job is done. And at least so far, I think he does.
And yes. You know what? If this was a Law and Order episode, I'm not trying to diminish what happened on October 7th. This would be premeditated murder, all right?
Sure.
Hamas has been planning for this, who knows, months, years, you know, digging up water lines so they can make extra rockets, these huge tunnels, all the planning that went into the gliders and where they were going to go. This was premeditated. This wasn't a border skirmish that erupted into a wider war. This was a premeditated act to kill as many Jews as possible. And I believe Hamas was hoping it would trigger a wider war of the Arab world and the Muslim world against Israel that would result in the annihilation of the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And so when you think about it in those terms, it being premeditated murder, this wasn't manslaughter. This wasn't accidental and somebody, this wasn't a bar fight and someone accidentally got killed. This was premeditated murder. And Israel has every right to make sure it never happens again. And to your point, Ray, I hope Benjamin Netanyahu stays the course, because this will continue to go on as long as Hamas and its leadership are in existence.
Yeah. Well, all right. Next story. We got 5 minutes, 4 minutes here.
All right. I want to bring you a story from South Bend, Indiana. There's a lady there named Amy Hadley who owned a house there in South Bend. Police were tracking a guy that was accused of murder, and they had picked up some usage on the computer that he was doing, and the IP address they tracked to a house in South Bend. Well, they went, they got a warrant, and then they decided they wanted to search for the house. So they got their bullhorns out. They said, everybody come out. There was only one person in the house at that moment. A kid, a teenage boy who was playing video games, came out. They arrested him. It wasn't who they were looking for. They knew it right away. But then they go ahead and go into the house to try to find this. And they fired dozens of tear gas canisters. They had flashbangs. They ransacked the house.
Grenades.
Ransacked the house, flipping over furniture, tearing down fixtures, punching holes in the walls, destroying the family photos and belongings, and then they left. And they left the homeowner to clean up the mess and to pay for it. Well, she is suing the city of South Bend, saying if you break it, you buy it, basically. I support law enforcement. I don't know if this is standard procedure, if they're looking for someone dangerous. But, yes, I believe that they should be compensating or paying for the damage they do at a woman's innocent person's house like this.
Well, you talk about an unreasonable search.
Yeah.
That's Fourth Amendment. I agree. If you break it, you own it. And local law enforcement ought to get a big, fat bill for this and have to pay to put the house back the way it was. But furthermore, these kinds of raids at times are extremely dangerous. Sometimes they happen in the middle of the night. And
well, that's only if they're going over innocent J6 people.
Right. Well,
or pro-lifers.
And if they show up in the middle of the night, you have people who are armed to defend themselves. They don't know who's breaking in. So there has got to be a consideration and a reconfiguring on how law enforcement interacts with people. So and if they make a mistake like this, I don't know that you can charge it to the police who did it, but
judge is going to determine.
But somebody needs to be consequences, right, for the officers as well as the police department in the city.
This whole thing was recorded on body cam, which they released, so there's really very little dispute over what happened.
Right.
And she has gone to court and asking a judge to force somebody to help her put her house back together.
Especially since it was a mistake.
Yeah.
And mistakes are made.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you have to pay for the mistake, like we all have to everywhere else, it might make them be a little more cautious about tearing up somebody's house. I don't know. Does that make me liberal? I support law enforcement too, like you said. I have family members who are in law enforcement, and but that's wrong.
Okay. Anyway. Y'all through?
I'm through.
Okay.
Let me go eat something.
All right, you go eat something, brother. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Steve, Fred, Ed, and Chris. Brent Creeley, our producer. And we appreciate you listening to today's issues and to the American Family Radio Network. Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.